The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
In a world where there are tons of perfectly acceptable sources of entertainment.
I'm not even going to say tell this movie to fuck itself, because that would give it pleasure.
One podcast has the balls.
Dave, you got anything good to say about this?
No!
To watch the worst of the worst.
Dave, I don't like the movie, but I get to watch him fucking suffer.
And to tell you all about them.
I was trying to come up with something interesting to say, and I completely failed.
Beer will be drunk.
You keep asking him questions. He's literally reading the bottle.
Reading the bottle.
Bad words will be said.
That fuck doesn't go there.
Pete.
I hate all of you.
Dave.
Oh my God, you're all fucking exhausting.
Troy. And Kathleen.
Enjoy, David, this level of drunk.
They bring you the Good Beer, Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 23 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Tonight's feature presentation is from 1983, and it is called Space Hunter something 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 something.
Do you mean it's
Space Hunter Adventure in the Forbidden Zone?
Yes, Dave. As a matter of fact, it is something about adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Okay, just checking.
Well done, sir. Yes. And it's Dave's birthday month.
Yay!
Yes. So this whole this whole episode is now Dave's fault.
Oh, you got
this is all about Dave. Dave will be doing the synopsis. Dave will be doing the editing, and Dave will be doing all of the other things. So please send your emails and concerns and hate mail to Dave, because
I'm drunk with power. Soon I'll just be drunk conventionally.
Dave is going to do his, the 6-minute synopsis today, where we take 6 minutes to summarize the movie. Then we're going to take a quick break and come back with the evening's choice of beverage, or at least the first one, because we have some very special beers. Then we're going to talk about the movie, talk about another beer, and then we're going to wrap everything up with the 6-pack rating, where we let you know just how drunk you may have to be to enjoy this film. But before we do any of that nonsense, let's introduce the cast. My name is Pete. Hello to my right, because everybody needs to know exactly how we're sitting tonight.
Hi, I am Troy.
Hey, Troy.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
And Kathleen's there too.
Yes.
And Dave is the birthday boy. Hi, Dave.
Hi, I'm Pete. I mean, Dave. And this is my birthday month. I get to choose the movie, but we did something a little unique. So,
expound.
For this month, because I, the last two times I get to choose the movie, movie night, I now have the longest record for the worst movies chosen in the history of Good Beer.
You're 2 for 2, being a 6-pack for each film, yes.
The first one was Battle Beyond the Stars. And the second one was The Swarm.
Actually topped Battle Beyond the Stars.
So I decided that this year I was not going to choose the movie myself. I was instead going to pool opinions. I set up a poll to see which movie out of 5 our listener would choose.
So it's Jen's fault.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Jen. I might write you a strongly worded letter later.
Yes, but apparently pooling opinion helps not one whit.
So anyway, we chose from 5 movies. It was The Norseman.
Saturn 3.
No.
Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Frogs. And
The
Being.
Yes.
I really wanted to be Frogs.
I kind of did too.
Oh, I so wanted to be Frogs.
But no. No.
No, our listeners chose
Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Thanks a lot.
Don't you mean
Space Hunter, Adventure in the Forbidden Zone?
Dave has a new app, everybody.
Yeah.
He got it for his birthday. Yeah, when I talk to you, this we probably can't blame our listener, Jen, too much for this one, because when I talked to Katie before we closed the poll, she said she was asking me about the poll, and I was like, yeah, Dave mentioned something about he thought Space Hunter was pulling ahead, and she was like, yes. So maybe this is really Katie's fault. She was actively cheering on the idea that that was the one that was in the head.
Why did she hate us so much? What did we ever do to her?
We make fun of her Hallmark Christmas movies.
Well, it's easy. Those are softballs, man.
Okay, but this also implies that Katie actually is familiar with Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone, and knew that it was terrible and wanted us to watch it.
My assumption is that she assumed everything, that's funny, I just said that word twice in one sentence, that you chose on the poll was going to be terrible, and that one had Molly Ringwald in it, so she was aiming for that.
Okay. All right, well.
But I could be wrong. Maybe she has seen the movie and thinks it's, you know, the right kind of torment to put down on us.
I'm going to have a conversation with Katie. There might be...
She needs a sitting down, doesn't she?
Yeah, there might be.
Come to Jesus moment, maybe?
I may or may not have showed her one of my fingers in particular. I'm not saying which one or that it happened. I'm just saying.
It's the middle one.
All right. Hey, Dave, are you ready to do this?
No. No, I'm not ready to do this. But anyway, the whole point of this ridiculous conversation is that I did not choose the movie this time. The movie was chosen for us, and in retrospect, I think this was a very poor decision, and I don't know what to do it again. Because look what happened.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, fuck you guys. Space Hunter.
You did kind of choose the movie, as you did choose all the movies in the poll.
Yeah, but just, you know, as far
I mean,
as
you
just...
could have chosen Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind.
No. What? I don't think you understand the reason of this podcast.
We have a thing. So I figured that would be what he would
do. This was not a super long movie.
No, it was
almost exactly 1 hour and 30 minutes.
It was refreshingly 90 minutes.
It felt like several days.
Sometimes,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I suppose I should just get this over with.
All right.
Excuse me. Me, you, us.
We them.
Stupid.
We them.
Dumb.
Me. Okay, I'm ready when you are.
Just start talking.
Okay. Okay, we open on a scene in deep space. A luxury liner, space liner, that looks like it makes no engineering sense whatsoever, explodes for some reason, but not before a single lifeboat manages to rocket away. It guides itself to the closest habitable planet and crash lands on a rocky, desolate desert. Desolate desert? The ship's canopy blows open to reveal three beautiful women in spacesuits that look like Donald Trump's bathroom fixtures. they almost attacked by a bunch of mutants when they're picked up by some Mad Max-looking scavengers in a cobbled-together vehicle. Cut to deep space. A salvage vessel mines asteroids for whatever, who cares. Our hero, Wolf, with two Fs, and his engineer, Chalmers, are being informed by the disembodied voice of Harold Ramis that Wolf is has hundreds of parking tickets, and is 2 months behind on rent, when they receive a distress signal from the destroyed luxury space liner that I talked about. A 3,000 mega credit reward is offered for the rescue of the survivors on Terra 11, a human colony destroyed by a plague. And Terra 11 is probably where these survivors landed. As this large sum would alleviate their financial woes, Wolf and Chalmers hightail it to Terra 11. Sorry, I messed up my Roman numerals. And drive their landing craft, the Scrambler, to rescue the survivors and claim the reward. While heading toward the distress beacon, they come across scavengers and a sail-powered rail car with the three survivors on board, which is convenient, I guess. The sail barge is set upon by marauders working for Overdog, who apparently runs this place and is a bad guy, who then capture survivors and fly them off on jet-powered hang gliders to the zone where the ruler Overdog plans to do something terrible to them, I assume. Wolf moves to pursue the survivors to realize Chalmers has been killed in the fray. We see now that Chalmers is actually an android or a gyndroid. I don't know the rules for that.
What?
A moment. Gyndroid woman with the vaginas. When Wolf takes a moment to voice his regret at her destruction before melting her down and driving off. On his way to the zone, he stops to examine some old buildings, and a dirty, annoyingly shrill, talkative scavenger called Nikki tries to steal the Scrambler. She offers to help Wolf find the survivors in exchange for food. Cut to the zone. The survivors are taken to the chemist, Overdog Lieutenant, who makes sure the girls are unscarred and have all their limbs. We learn Overdog has used the planet's resources for his own pleasure and amusement. I don't think anybody cares at this point. back at the Scrambler, Wolf, Nikki, and Nikki are setting up an awkward camping arrangement when they're happened upon by a big snowplow driven by Ernie Hudson, whose character's name is Washington, you know, who's a soldier acquaintance of Wolf's, who's also seeking the reward for the survivors. We learn Washington needs help getting off the planet, and Wolf bids him a fuck you, bye, and he and Nikki leave Washington to find the survivors. So, apparently Nikki is a terrible navigator because she keeps leading them into one misadventure after another, first into a subterranean den full of horrible blob-like mutants to warrior women and mutated water serpents. They somehow lose the Scrambler and are forced to hoof it when Washington finds them again and is like, ah, fuck you guys, I'll save you for a 50-50 split of the reward, to which they agree. So now the trio make it to the zone and sneak into Overdog's fortress, who we see as a hideous cyborg with big gruesome claws for arms and is Michael Ironside. They find a bunch of assholes watching prisoners try to unsuccessfully get through the world's worst obstacle course, a la The Running Man, I guess. And this is what they do for entertainment on this planet. So while Wolf and Washington are trying to rescue the survivors, Nikki's dumbass gets captured by Overdog in a fit of sheer stupidity and is forced to run the stupid obstacle course. She succeeds, only to be grabbed by Overdog, who tries to drain her of her vitality to keep himself alive, which is presumably what he's going to use the survivors for. Which, okay, whatever. Wolf finds them both and tries to kill Overdog by shooting everything but him. He eventually kills Overdog by thrusting a power cable into his gross cyborg claws, which also blows up the whole fortress for some reason. Wolf and Nikki bolt and are rescued by Washington and his snowplow, and the three survivors along with them, and they all escape, the three survivors, Wolf, Nikki, and Washington, and that's now an hour and a half you cannot get back. End.
Yay!
You had a minute and a half left.
I kind of wish I had taken it to describe exactly how terrible this movie is.
Well, that's what this next portion is of the show is for.
Right.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
But first,
this is not my fault today.
I think ultimately it's all your fault.
Yes, I keep going back to the root cause of all of this. Every time he's like, it's not me.
Give me that look.
Can we drink now?
Yes, we can drink. So, folks, we're going to go out to the lobby. We were going to play a promo from a friend of ours. So make sure you listen to their podcast. And we'll be back with our first beer. We'll see you in a minute.
Hello, this is Rod Barnett, the host of The Bloody Pit, the podcast about eclectic film from across the decade. On The Bloody Pit, we've covered Godzilla movies, Doctor Who movies starring Peter Cushing, The Outer Limits, Fu Manchu, Doc Savage, old radio shows, my favorite movies of all time, a Lucio Fulci film or two, 1970s science fiction movies, and a long series on the films of Italian maestro Antonio Margheriti. So if you're curious to learn a little bit about some of the stranger areas of cult film and television, join me and my rotating group of co-hosts on The Bloody Pit. You might even learn something about Coffin Joe. And that's scary, people. Very scary.
That is viscous. Okay, so what I'm pouring here is this is Listerman Brewing Company Nutcase Porter.
Where are they out of?
They are out of Cincinnati. This is a porter brewed with peanut butter. It is 6.8 ABV, which is pretty muscular.
It's drinkable.
Right.
So what you're saying is it's a peanut butter porter?
It's a porter brewed with peanut butter.
Porter brewed with peanut butter.
They challenged me to say this five times fast. I'm not doing it. Screw this. I don't play your games.
You can really smell the peanut butter in there.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's
a squirt. Holy moly. Yeah. That's like...
It's like peanuts.
Artesian peanut butter. This isn't Skippy peanut butter. This is that oily peanut butter. Just real sharp. Yeah.
Yes.
The stuff you have to mix up yourself every
time. Right. Yeah, shake it or...
Mm-hmm. So this is the style of American Porter. It is, like I said, the ABV is 6.8. The IBUs apparently fluctuates between 28 and 50. So it's pretty low. I mean, it's a porter. That's to be expected.
28 to 50. Okay, yeah.
It's going to be a little maltier. I have not tried it yet. What are we getting out of this?
Ooh. The peanuts are socking me in the nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just straight up. Pow. Yeah.
There's like four kids.
I'm surprised it's 6%.
Did
you say 6.8?
6.8.
Okay, that's still that's a little on the low side for a porter, but they're usually solidly 7.5%.
Sure.
But that's all right. So this is it's a drinkable porter. If you can get by the peanuts.
I'm looking like for to see if they have a warning for people with nut allergies on the bottle.
On the bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's shocking. Okay, so I'm not getting a lot of peanut butter.
Really?
I'm getting it, but not like in the nose. Like when I smell this, when I stick my nose right down in there, I'm getting, you know, a nose full of peanut butter, which is disgusting to think about.
I like the design on the front of the bottle because the flavor is called Nut Job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or Nut Case, I'm sorry. Nut Case. So it's like a peanut wrapped in a straitjacket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's real simple. It's not, there's nothing, it's not a complicated, it's just like, oh yeah, that's a Mr. Peanut from Planters, Mr. Planters peanut in a straitjacket, yeah.
This is less sweet and more carbonated than I was expecting.
I'm surprised, the flavor is very surprising compared to the aroma. That's a testament to how this beer is made. Mm-hmm. Well done, Listerman's. Because
well,
I did not think I was going to like this. When I smell this beer, I'm like, I am not going to like this. Because with a porter, with the chocolatey, dark fruitiness of it, I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to drink a peanut butter and jelly sandwich here.
Though chocolate and peanut butter goes together very well.
It does, but I don't know if I want to drink it.
But chocolate, peanut butter, and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly go together well. Chocolate and peanut butter go well. Chocolate, peanut butter, and jelly? Sure, why not?
And beer.
And beer.
That's the part that ruins all of that.
Yeah, at some point, the transitive nature of this relationship starts to end because, like,
beer gets bready.
Like, chocolate and peanut butter work well together. Peanut butter and jelly work well together. Jelly and toast work well together. I mean, toast and avocado work well together. So, by the transitive property, chocolate and avocado would taste well together.
No.
Right. Exactly. Well, I like this and that, but together.
I'm not getting as much chocolate as I was expecting.
No, I didn't.
Which I'm okay with.
Wait, really, you don't. Porters don't really have a lot of chocolate to them. Not a lot. Some of them do, certainly. I think porters are more roasty and a little more dark fruity than they are chocolatey.
I thought that stouts were more roasty. Okay, now, somebody brought this to my attention. Actually, it was our friends at Perfect Pour in Dublin, Ohio.
That's where you got these beers, right?
It is indeed.
I got
this from
they're bitching.
Perfect Pour Beverage Company, yes.
Love these guys.
They're awesome. I spoke to a gentleman named Kevin. He was very knowledgeable and very helpful. If you're in the Columbus or Central Ohio area, I highly recommend you go there. Chances are you will probably not leave empty-handed. I am not the biggest beer nerd in the world. And even after I got the beers for this episode, I stuck around and just kind of chit-chatted with him for a long
time.
And then he was helping me try some stuff. He gave me a sample of this year's Hop Slam, which is very, very hoppy and awesome. It was great. And I found myself going back there last week. I didn't even need to get beer. I just...
So I saw you. You sent me something.
Yes, I sent you a picture.
I didn't realize that you had gone back. That's cool.
Yeah, I went back there.
That's great.
Just to check out more stuff. And I ended up walking out with more beer.
That's a sign of a good salesman, a good business person.
Yeah, I was sold. I like it. So definitely, again, that's Perfect Pour Beverage Company.
Yeah, we need to get involved with these guys, I think. They're our kind of people.
And Kevin, who's the one who brought it to my attention,
mm-hmm.
and he said that porters and stouts are essentially the same ingredients.
Yeah, the stout was an offshoot of the porter. I might be mistaken. I think Alec Guinness.
Obi-Wan? Well, that was a serious spaghetti arc, right?
Yeah, and now I'm not making the connections and my brain is fried. So when Guinness started, they started as a port. They wanted to make a porter in Ireland, and the water that they were using dried everything out. So the porter, as rich as it was in England, the water in Ireland wouldn't give it that full bodiness.
And dried water in Ireland?
It had something to do with the mineral content in the water. Because it is so important.
That's why they drink so much
beer. Water is so important in beer. And I was just, so I was talking to a friend of mine who came up here from Florida last night to go to Beer Fest with me. And she and I were talking, and she's like, there's lots of breweries down there, and none of them are exceptional in Florida. And I think it's the water, because I come up here to Ohio, and everything is awesome. Everything is so different. I mean, you can have a sour, and you can have a stout, and you can have a porter, and you can have an IPA, and they're all very different. Whereas where she is in Orlando, Tampa area, she's like, oh, Orlando, they're... Tampa. Well, she lives in... She's got family in Tampa. She lives in Orlando.
Oh, so one area or the other area.
Right.
Because they're on opposite sides of the state.
But that's a skinny state. It's a long state, but it's a skinny state. It's not that... Regardless. It's like going from Columbus to Cleveland. It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
But the variety of beers down there, as they move from pale ale to amber ale, they're not that different. And she's like, they're very, like, whatever.
I would very much agree with that. Remember last spring, we were down there on the Tampa side of Florida, and we bought several different beers from several different local breweries to try a variety of things. And we got some stuff that we really liked, and we found some stuff that we were like, eh. But I wouldn't say there was a huge difference. Now, we also didn't stray really far, because our focus in our shopping that time was we were looking strictly for Geary landings.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were definitely sticking with very similar types of beer. We didn't get a sour, we didn't get a stout.
And I've had the Cigar City Brewery, and last time Geary and I were actually, after the last cruise that we went on, we went to Cigar City. And we tried a sampler there, and I'm like, they're kind of all the same. And that's not anything against the brewery, because they're doing their best. But I think the water has something to do with it. All the coral down there, maybe the saline content of it. Is it harder or softer? I don't know. There's a reason that Budweiser is in town, like them or hate them. There's a reason that they covet the water system here
in Ohio.
Right, because it's got the right mix of minerals in it.
To be clear, you're in Florida with Geary. Geary is the person after whom the Geary theory, or the Geary, which Kathleen had mentioned, it's named after him.
Right.
It's his theory.
Yes,
it's his idea originally.
Yeah. So if you want to hear more or read more about the theory, go to the website, goodbeerbadmovie.com, and look up the Geary. It is a measure of the ABV versus IBUs in a beer.
I actually was just explaining the theory I went to a birthday party last weekend for a friend of mine, and I was talking to somebody there that was excited about a place here in town that had just opened that was nearby where she lives. And she was like talking about the fact that though mostly what they make are IPAs, and she was like, I'm not a big fan. She was, there's that taste afterwards that tastes like, and she just kept like making this face and going with it. And I was like, plants, grass. And she was like, yes. I was like, welcome to my world. Let me tell you something I've learned. And then I like went through the whole thing with her, and she was like, well, I'm going to try that now. So she was super excited about the whole thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an educational podcast.
Absolutely.
For all of you looking to learn more and drink more.
We make your life better is what we're saying.
Exactly.
Right. And then we torture you, because then we talk about these movies.
I'm happy to talk about this beer more. Or do we need to go to this stupid movie?
I will tell you that
let's get it over with. Pull the band-aid off.
The nicest thing that I have to say about this movie is at the very end, when I was jotting down my final thoughts on my notes, I wrote, well, it's not the Swarm.
It is not the Swarm.
Okay, so we don't really do this here, but I just kind of want to do, like, what was my favorite thing about this movie? Because there's a lot to hate about this movie. So I'll go first, because I'm starting it. The thing about the movie that I enjoyed the most was the landscapes, the outdoor shots. It was absolutely gorgeous. From what little information that I garnered from the internet, from the IMDb's and whatnot, it sounded like there was a lot of shooting done in Colorado. There was mountainy, rocky, and deserty sort of stuff going on, and it was absolutely beautiful. Had we not been watching a shit copy from Amazon Prime, I would imagine that it would be on par with, and follow me here, folks.
I'm worried about what you're going to say.
With Dance with Wolves or Out of Africa. those sweeping landscapes. If you pull back and look at some of what is going on in the background, it was gorgeous. I mean, that's
some of you ignore the plot, the characters, and all the actors.
That's why I said follow me here. What for fuck's sake, help me out here.
I'm summarizing what you're saying.
I'm chopping off all of the fat, and I'm trying to get to the goody bits on the inside. And the goody bits was that is what America at its best looks like.
Don't say goody bits again.
Okay.
So you liked the vistas, the landscape, the. The scenery,
the scenery,
the locations,
the location shooting was gorgeous, and you know the vehicles and the way the world looked mm-hmm. as a whole, minus some of the really bad green screens and mm-hmm. matte paintings. Some of those didn't quite line up right. I thought it looked nice. The scenery looked nice right. as a whole. It has nothing to do with anything else, just it was kind of pretty. It was mostly pretty, I should say.
Okay. Do we know that?
There you go. I'm done.
I think Troy should go next. What did you like about this movie?
I kind of want a motorcycle with a roll cage.
Yes!
That was going to be mine.
That was pretty cool.
Are those the bikes that the goons from the train were riding?
Uh-huh, yeah, yes.
Uh-huh.
The weird... No, that's something I hate. I can't do that one. The very first concept of the tour ship being hit and blowing up and there's one escape pod that ejected. Right. I'm like, oh, that's a really good setup that mm-hmm. they needed to do something better with after that happened.
Right.
But I liked that part.
I think the only thing that I liked was...
Ouch.
I totally see what you're saying when you're talking about the scenery, the vistas, some of the sets as far as the, like, even some of the world creation, those motorbikes, the little scavenger car.
Even the sailboat drives. Was kind of cool.
The sailboat that was super the cool. thing. Yeah. That's sail the car, thing that I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
The
yeah.
sailboat on the train.
On the train. The train
like,
boat.
When that started
whatever.
Coming through, I did say out loud when we were watching the movie, I was like, huh, that's kind of cool. All of that stuff was very Mad Maxy. Very
like
Mad
that.
Maxy.
This was a space movie. But we'll get to that.
Well, that ties into one of my favorite lines that I got in the portion of the episode I like to call "Shit That Pete Texts Me,"
we'll get to that too. Yeah,
yeah, it was a lot, and
that's
we were actually
favorite,
trying
sure.
to watch the movie at the same time. But there was one where you said something to the effect of, "This movie's called Space Hunter. I would have thought more of it took place in, I don't know, space." Which I was kind of like I read it and then I was like, hey, it's not wrong. Okay. Well, this is more like Desert Hunter,
right,
because that's what
right.
it feels like. But as far as the thing that I did like that cool ship. I thought
that was
bitchin'. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone. So this movie is apparently more Forbidden Zone than it is Space Hunter.
Truly.
Mm-hmm.
They were just setting it up so that the next movie
could be Space Hunter Adventures in the Invisible Zone.
Yeah,
Invisible Zone
behind the employees yeah. only.
There
door.
Was definitely. I thought it was interesting too that, like you mentioned in the synopsis, that Molly Ringwald, which I have a whole rant about.
I can't wait to hear it.
That she was bad at leading him because she kept leading him into different pods of danger or whatever.
Yeah, danger pods.
I did like is a strong word. I did think it was a good plot device to keep the story moving, that every time they found themselves in one of these situations, it was very different scenically and it was a different kind of monster creature
yeah,
kind
different
of thing.
Scenario.
Yeah, and so the weird Amazon devil mermaid ladies, that was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, do they just live in there and hope something wanders through? Like, I didn't understand that at all. And then in the weird, gross slime pod people that attacked them in the place where they tried to camp the second night.
Yeah.
Our Doctor Who fans will appreciate this. I was like, ooh, it's a Slovene.
Oh, you saw the Slovene. Yeah. I was going adipose.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I saw your text about that too. And I was kind of like, no, the little adipose guys are so cute.
These are. These were like demon adipose, though.
Yeah.
Right.
It was,
Those were definitely fillers. Like, okay, we don't have a long enough movie. We gotta encounter some monsters.
Filler, at least it's like a 2 minute filler. Most of the time with these movies, when they add a filler, it's a 10 minute filler,
and it's like going across the screen.
Yeah, or who knows? It's just like, so boring. So,
what was your favorite part, Dave?
That he didn't pick the spot so quickly.
I mean, you know,
wait, three of us have gone already.
You know, the end credits, but
I have actually seen this movie before. I was a kid.
What? Did you really?
Yes, I
saw not in the theater.
No, not in the theater.
Okay, all right.
No, but I did see it when it was probably on TV or something like that, along with like Beastmaster and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I have fond memories of it. And I remember having nightmares of the scene where Chalmers, the android robot who gets shot, gets melted down.
Gross.
And it was gross. Like, because there's your face melt off of this plastic frame. And like, and my, you know, my 6-year-old self was like,
Which, why?
There's no reason.
Okay, just make sure. Just
like, I have questions about that.
She's compostable. Yeah, it's good for the Earth.
It's good for the Terra 11.
You're on Terra 11.
It's good for the Terra 11. When in Space Hunter, Adventures in the...
Gardening Zone?
Gardening Zone comes up.
Adventures in the Horticultural Zone?
There, thank you. That was a good one.
Zone 5, which is where we are.
I wonder what happened to the other 10 Terras. I mean, we're on Terra 1 right now. But...
Right, yeah.
Anyway, what did I like about the movie? I liked... Truthfully, I could tell that a lot of effort went into the production design. Like the vehicles and like a lot of the sets, especially the sets in Overdog's Fortress with the horrible obstacle course and the
maze.
Yeah.
The
maze.
Nice.
It was cool looking. I mean, it was just cool. It was cool looking. I mean, it didn't seem apropos of anything and a lot of it didn't make sense. But that was cool. Like, especially the Scrambler. I loved the Scrambler. Like the vehicle that Wolf rode around in, a little turret on top.
Turret, not turd. I heard turd.
I was going to say that.
Right around, a little poop on top.
A little turd on top. Molly Ringwald was in it the entire time.
But, I mean, if I'm going to actually dovetail this back. Oh, God. I just got what you said, sir.
And, it's a little joke grenade. Yeah.
It took a minute to detonate, right?
Yeah. Find a pin.
I enjoyed the coolness of the gear. Like what Troy had mentioned, the motorcycles with the cages on them, and what Kathleen had mentioned, the sail rail car, the sail barge.
Sail rail.
I like that stuff, and I like the Scrambler, and I even liked his ship. But that's about it. I like Ernie Hudson and his snowplow car.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson seemed to be a much more of a movie star in this one than he was ever in Ghostbusters. You know, like, he actually had more of he was a lot more charismatic in this.
But Ghostbusters was after this.
I know. Mm-hmm. He's probably in there because of this.
Yeah. And Harold Ramis is in it. But apparently there is some kind of relationship going on. I mean, Ivan Reitman was a producer. Mm-hmm. And Harold Ramis does some voiceover work in the beginning.
Holy hell, did this movie need Bill Murray, though, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Somebody.
But speaking of terrible, I'm going to go right into what I didn't like.
Please do.
In specifics, because I can't just say, the movie, the end. What I said before during the 6-minute synopsis about that luxury space liner making no engineering sense whatsoever. Mm. Everything in the movie made no sense whatsoever, like, as far as a world. Like, this world where there are Amazon women and a pet dragon are in the same world as, like, these big roly-poly Michelin Man mutants. And also a horrible big cyborg guy with giant 3-fingered claws sending people through a horrible obstacle course maze being chased by a truck.
And they're all supposedly starting out as humans, because it's supposed to be...
It's an outpost.
It's a colony that was started in 2013. But it was a colony started in 2013.
Some plague broke out.
A plague came in 2021. Mm-hmm. Then the rest of the world's cut off Terra 11 in 2030. Like, they were like, oh, 9 years, we still haven't figured this out. Bye! So, anybody who's living on that planet has either survived the plague and, like, mutated, and, I don't know, like, that's where I think all these different types of people come from, is they're, like, you either...
You're a scab or a zoner.
Right. It was, like, you either are population created by the people who survived the plague, and maybe these people figured out how to adapt by living in the water and not needing men. I don't know what's that about, but so like that's like them. And then there's the weird like people in the gross Levine type people, but also this guy that's running the whole place also was like,
he was a doctor,
right,
who was supposed to be helping cure the plague, and
right,
he ended up, you know what, instead of curing the plague, how about if I just put horrible cyborg arms on myself and then drain people of their life?
Yeah,
right. So I like that plan. Was weird too, because in the with the sailboat railroad car, the granddad, the old guy,
yeah, the
old
grand
or whatever,
yeah,
was,
he was
a
the other
peer.
Doctor.
He was a
yeah.
peer with the overlord, and yeah. so they obviously had a parting of the ways. And I don't know. I
just think of this, and I guess I was reminded of why this stuff doesn't make sense culturally. It's because it reminded me of Mad Max. And if you've seen Mad Max Fury Road, all that stuff makes complete sense.
Oh, yeah. This was Mad Max Fury Road before.
Right, but like in Mad Max
30 years
Road,
before,
they,
whatever.
Like, there's a cultural consistency in all,
oh,
of,
yeah.
all the hardware True. And mm-hmm. the vehicles and all that stuff. Like, oh, it's this group of people from this city. All their stuff looks consistent with that city. And on another city miles away, that place has vehicles built differently. And it's all consistent from a cultural perspective for that city.
But in this world, nothing. There's a snowplow
yeah.
in the middle of a desert.
A snowplow in the middle of a desert, and also a group of Amazon women who apparently worship some snake monster sea serpent god who lives in the water.
Yeah.
And then the zombie pod Michelin man giant water bear looking
Bob,
guys.
Blob,
water
right,
bear.
Right.
Right. Very good.
Presumably they're mutants. But okay, then again, this is a mutant thing. Like, mutation implies radiation of some kind, but this is a plague. Maybe it was a plague that affected your genetics.
Yeah, the plague wasn't clear. And you're right that in film, when there's nuclear fallout or something like that, people change quickly.
Right.
But if it's just living for 100 years, those people won't mutate like that.
Yeah. I think we've already
that
put
quickly.
More thought into this movie than the people.
Well,
that
the
made
one
it.
Thing that, like, when they got into the
Sorry.
Forbidden Zone, and it's like the kind of people that the Overlord are like
Overdog.
His people. You know, the folks that were watching the maze situation. What they all reminded me of was Reavers from Serenity.
Oh sure,
oh, yeah.
Where
oh, sure.
It was
yeah.
like that
yeah.
whole concept of like. Something happens and you end up, something makes you mad, like crazy, and it like just morphs you from mm-hmm. that point. So,
and you become a Reaver.
They all reminded me of extras from Billy Idol videos.
Yes, Frank did say that, and I was like, I apparently haven't watched enough of those.
You don't need to, but.
Well, you know
yeah,
what?
You're right.
In that hour, I did cry more.
It's a nice day.
With a Rebel Yell, in fact.
Lights. Yeah.
But I think if more care were given into production, like the actual set, like whoever was designing this world, because there was budget there. This movie had budget.
It was an expensive movie yeah. at the time for 1983, like $14 million.
And a very young Molly Ringwald, and a
yeah.
what was she, 15?
Yeah, oh. I don't know how young she was, but
it was before 16 Candles.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she couldn't have been 16.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you the part that I hated the most.
Oh, please,
yes, please,
please do.
Okay, so like everything's mutated. And the one thing that's really mutated is language.
Oh.
How
yes.
many? How many?
That was so annoying.
Like, cause like that was not the grandfather that was killed on that thing. It was the grandman.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were outrolling from their place. And oh no, he's got a wound, and we can't make a blood stop. It's like stop
yes,
doing that.
Yes.
Don't do that anymore.
You don't think about things. You brain work them.
Yeah, you
oh,
brain work.
Yeah.
And they were down to, even though, I mean, this is maybe, okay, maybe this planet's, like, there's been some problems with their minds that don't allow them to speak well anymore. But even
I gotta figure, everyone is, you know, other than Grandman and Overdog, everyone is generations down from whatever the original plague was, because...
Because
that's why I asked you what
really
year the movie
we
was taking
about.
Place in.
Yeah,
wait
well,
a minute. Didn't it, okay, the colonization started in 2013, which is only a few years ago. Up until what, 2030?
I think this movie is set in like 21 something or other.
Right.
Oh,
so it's a
oh,
so there's like
oh,
a there's like 100 years of
okay.
and it, you know the language barrier. Unless you didn't catch that, that doesn't surprise me that there's such.
I didn't catch
no,
that part.
It didn't surprise me, but it annoyed the shit out of me.
It was annoying. It was annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense now that I have a sense of time and scale. Because, I mean, I was just thinking, like, oh, yeah, it's just a couple of years after the...
The last people landed there, right.
Even Chalmers, who seemed like the only intelligent character that takes place in this entire...
Well, what a disposable character that was.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
She was disposable.
I can fix... I can fix the comm and screw your brains out. Ew.
Gross.
She was the astromech and the sex slave. I mean,
yeah.
So she was a tool. Chalmers was the android.
Sex on a crescent wrench.
Right. And when he woke her up, I'm like, oh, hey, look. So.
I was going to make a knock it till you try it joke, but that's wrong. And so don't do that.
Yeah.
It took all of 5 minutes, maybe, for me to understand that this was an android.
Yeah, I actually thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh. This is another person. Great. No, that looks like a robot thing. That's what you're leading up to.
That's what's going to happen.
And then he massages her shoulders. Well, cool, because I watched it twice. And then as I'm seeing them interact for a second time, knowing that this is an android,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, gross.
Oh, you do it with that thing.
Well, all the time. Oh, well, she even says something about, like, you never let me finish.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely a little...
Why don't you fix the comm, she says. And she says, well, you never let me finish fixing the comm. Which means that he hauls her into bed, which is gross.
Gross.
Yeah. I was... I
suppose it's consensual, because he bought it. Okay.
If she's property, then there's nothing consensual about it. You cannot... If you own something's property, you, by the very nature of being property, you cannot consent to anything.
Right.
Sorry to get a little deep there.
The thing about that was, like, upsetting and then was frustrating to me is, obviously, somebody in the process of creating this script planned for the Chalmers character to go because he's the lone wolf. Like, he doesn't need anybody. Even his companion isn't even a real person.
Right, he's kind a lone wolf. He's so lone that his name Wolf has two F's in it.
Right, because fuck that guy.
So what you're saying is he's a lone wolf. Solo.
Right.
Yeah. Where are you going
As a Star Wars ripoff. Uh-huh. Right. So he said, the Molly Ringwald character is supposed to replace that Chalmers character. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets a little not
cool.
Well, not cool, here's the problem. If you look at the lines and the behavior of the Molly Ringwald character, mm-hmm. whoever wrote all of that really was putting a child in that place. They wrote a character that was like 9. It should have been a kid. And that's what whoever wrote that part of it, that's what they were envisioning is a kid. Somewhere along the line, somebody decided to tweak that
makes a lot more sense.
And age that character. They melt down the Chalmers. They break the lone wolf aspect. And now he's going to have this partner. Mm-hmm. And she's this sidekick. And he's the hunky guy with the girl. Except they didn't change the part. They just aged the girl. So that irritated me because it was like... I get it. She's been orphaned and living as a scavenger on her own and no one is raising her, but she is too fucking old to act this childish. And it was so irritating.
I mean, like, I saw her as 14, so, like, their relationship was very much like a paternal sort of...
Totally.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything icky about that.
Yeah. No, there was nothing icky there. Icky about the way it comes across... Like, I don't feel like Wolf did anything that was gross.
No, he was interested.
No, he was totally not interested, which is fine. But Molly Ringwald was the wrong casting for that. Even if she was supposed to be 12 to 14, then they needed to cast somebody much younger. Because even in 16 Candles and The Breakfast Club, Molly Ringwald looks 23. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, she doesn't even look like a high school kid looks when she's actively supposed to be playing a high school kid, and the lines are a high school kid. These lines are 8, 9, 10, and she looks 17 trying to portray 14. Like, I saw this more, to me, it reminded me of on paper what should have been Indiana Jones and
Short Round.
The hero and a kid, and she just was wrong. She was wrong casting, the wrong age, all of it.
I really like
that.
And it
annoyed the hell out of me.
Especially when he...
And I'm sorry to cut you off, but Molly Ringwald's high pitch. I want to slap the shit out of her in every movie she's in when she starts getting upset. Like, she's not pretty in pink. I don't give a shit that everyone forgot her birthday. And fuck you, you deserve that detention. Ugh. Now I'm done.
I don't want to follow that. Who wants to follow that?
I think... I was just going to say that... go ahead.
If they'd aged her down, the bathing scene wouldn't have been so freaking weird. Where, like...
That was weird, yes. You know,
dragging her into the water and, like, dunking her and, like...
Put her in a headlock and rubbing stuff on her head. And
right.
Stuff.
Which was supposed to be funny, but it came off a little bit like, oh, this is a little weird.
Had it been an actual nine-year-old, it would have been... I would say it would have been fine, but it would have been...
It wouldn't have felt
a little less
slightly...
Cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy, yes. Right. And at
least... No, I do have to say she had better hair when her hair was dirty than when it was clean and all poofed up.
It was 1983.
There's a lot of hair product in 1983.
Oh, I know.
I mean, all right. So here's what. Let's come back and talk about this some more. But I am in serious need of
more beer.
And a bathroom break.
Yeah, me too.
So, but we're gonna go get our.
We can pee together and cross the streams.
Ew!
This isn't
another Ghostbusters.
Harold
Ramis and Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
To be clear, I don't actually want to do that. I just wanted to say
it's not gonna happen. We're going to take a break. We're going to grab an orange whip, and we're going to play another friend of the show podcast promo. Right. So after we get back from that, we'll talk about this thing and wrap it up.
Hello, everyone. I am Rod Barnett.
I'm Troy Gwynn.
And we are your hosts for NashyCast, the podcast about the films of Paul Nashy. We, for over 5 years, have brought you the joys of Spanish cinema, filtered through our brains to you.
Yes, now, what is it that qualifies two Southern boys to talk about films that came out of Spain? And I can't think of a single thing.
There's nothing that qualifies.
Nothing. Except that we just love them.
We love them. NashyCast covers the films of Paul Nashy and any other Spanish horror film that we can pretend we know something about.
Yes. If you love beautiful women wearing incredibly short miniskirts in subarctic temperatures chased by werewolves in leisure suits.
If you love werewolves, vampires, unidentifiable beasts, or crazy people driving women around and talking like a maniac.
Yes, flying cats, beheadings with axes.
Blood that looks like melted crayons.
Shambling zombies, yeah.
Some of the films that we've covered in the past are Mark of the Werewolf.
Howl of the Devil.
Vengeance of the Zombies.
Horror Rises from the Tomb.
Tombs of the Blind Dead.
Vampire's Night Orgy.
Ooh, yes. Join us on this journey through the golden age of Spanish horror, where Paul Nashy, Leon Klimovsky, Jess Franco, Armando D'Osorio take us through a filter Espanol.
Join us for the NashyCast. That was loud.
It was loud. I bought the boys a new toy.
Yes.
So Dave, for our listening friends, not our visual friends.
Or our imaginary friends.
Imaginary friends. Dave just pulled the cap off of the off of the beer bottle then shot the bottle cap with a bottle cap gun. All in the same fane swell moop.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, dude. You just spooners in the hell out of that.
I did. I owned it, though, damn it.
Remotely started the more powerful
same
beer.
Fell swoop. There, I got it that time.
Same swell swoop.
Park, park, park.
But no, if you would like to see the new toy that Kathleen got us, it is the cap gun. Check us out on Instagram, and you'll see it.
We'll put something in the show notes about the cap gun and our friends at Perfect Pour and Listerman's. And Dave, what is this?
This is from Warped Wing Brewing Company, Baltic Argonaut, Baltic Porter, aged in rye whiskey barrels.
You can smell that whiskey smell.
It is aged in old rye whiskey barrels. This was brought to my attention, again, we were at Perfect Pour, and the sales rep, a very nice gentleman named Jack, he explained to me about the Baltic Argonaut. It is, like I said, aged in rye whiskey barrels. They also have another Baltic Argonaut that's aged in Tennessee whiskey.
Oh, that'd be fun to vertical.
I thought about doing it, but since this, the malt bill on this is very high, so even a 12-ounce bottle is going to set you back a little bit. And speaking of which, there is so much product in this. The ABV on this is 11.5, and from what Jack was telling me, it's 11.5 before it gets put in the barrel. So it could be a swing of like another 1.5,
yep.
2 points there. Yep. So it could be 13% that we're drinking.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's boozy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's also very pleasant. It's hot, but it
right.
has a little vanilla to it. Now, I'm not so educated in rye whiskeys versus bourbon. I mean, I can tell the difference between a whiskey and a bourbon. There's yeah. I think there's a stark difference between the two styles.
Bourbon is whiskey. I mean, you know that.
Yeah, yes, but when you say bourbon, you're going 51%
kind of whiskey. Yeah,
corn mash.
51% corn, yes, at least.
Yeah, and then
it's like dates and molasses.
Yes. Biscuits. Oh, molasses thick is very and good.
Sticky. Yep. The nose is definitely like a mixture of like dried fruits, but also like a little bit of coffee in there. Sticky molasses. Like you said. A little bit of vanilla. I don't get as much chocolate as I sometimes do.
A little vanilla.
Yeah, plummy, raisiny.
Plummy is good. Yep. When I think plums, I always think amaretto. So if you've ever had whenever you have an amaretto sour, I think that boozy flavor is plummy. So when I've had plum wine in the past, I always think, oh, that's like amaretto. And right. that's me. No, my palate is different than others, but I think that
amaretto's made out of almonds.
Right.
I get what you're saying, because it is like a sticky, syrupy sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So actually, I think fig, because like, when you get figs and you're like, they're real chewy, because that's, like, I could feel myself chewing when I'm drinking
like a dried fig, not a pickled or a...
Right, exactly, a dried fig that's almost fresh, like a raisin.
Pickled fig.
Pickled fig? Is there a pickled fig?
No, but that sounds like the name of a gnome that lives in the forest somewhere.
Or a band from the 80s.
Plastered fig.
But no, this is enjoyable. I don't think you're supposed to drink a lot of it.
No, you can't. No. You bought a bottle here, and that's... You bought two.
I have two bottles here.
I don't think we're going to open that second one.
Yeah.
No offense. We'll try it again later, but one is enough.
My chest is on fire.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
this
my chest
is
and
very
stomach.
Much, it's to me, like...
Like wine. Sorry, to circle back to what you were saying, Pete. A bourbon, 51% corn, like you said. A rye whiskey is going to be probably spicier. Maybe a little bit creamier. It's going to have less a roasty vanilla caramel.
That makes
sense.
It's
going to be more kind of a weedy, maybe
that
a little
sense.
Sweeter depending.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on from whiskey to whiskey, but as opposed to a Tennessee whiskey, which is a little bit drier. I mean, Tennessee whiskey and bourbon are virtually identical except for one major difference, which is it's charcoal filtered.
Oh.
And the charcoal actually adds, arguably, it adds a different element to it, and bourbon cannot be adulterated at all. It can have no additives in it whatsoever.
All right.
So there's bourbon and there's Tennessee whiskey. Some people, I mean, this is actually a pretty common misconception that bourbon has to be aged in Bourbon County, Kentucky, or it has to be...
it's like the word champagne or...
Yeah, and that's not the case. Bourbon can be made anywhere in the United States, but it must be in the United States. And bourbon is more a mixture of ingredients and process rather than a region, like... Champagne or cognac or whatever.
That was the other one I was thinking.
Well, that's a misconception that I held.
A lot of people do, and it's completely forgivable.
Cognac is brandy, and sparkling wine is champagne.
Right.
If you want the not official version of it.
Mm. Right, like champagne is sparkling wine from the Champagne region. Mm-hmm. Like cognac is brandy from the cognac region.
Yes.
And bourbon is from wherever the fuck you want it, as long as you're American.
Kathleen's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
I am enjoying this.
I'm enjoying this too, but this is all I want. So
yeah.
This is nice.
Like, we all served ourselves. Dave started and poured, a decent amount in his, and Pete did the same, and Troy did the same. And then I got the littlest, tiniest serving
because it was
literally what was left in the bottle. Like, I couldn't have more if I wanted it. I do really like this. I have a tendency to like whiskey in general.
I know I like
it
for a reason.
More than like Troy does, for example. He's not, a fan at all. I'm very much wimpy when it comes to it. I always have it mixed with something, and my favorite thing to mix with when I was in my 20s and didn't understand anything about alcohol was always, of course, Coca-Cola, my favorite drink ever that I'm totally addicted to. So therefore, I don't have it anymore because I don't drink Coke anymore, which we've discussed. But
yeah, that's a true addiction for you, isn't it?
Yes.
So, like, even if I were to give you, like, RC.
No, because it's not Coke.
Gateway drug.
It is Coca-Cola.
I kind of like RC.
It is a gateway drug. It will make me want Coke, but...
So, like, Moxie or Pepsi or anything like that?
Moxie.
Moxie?
A very old cola.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
I don't need to drink it, but...
you do have
Dave's an old soul. He's had all the colas.
But, yeah, so, because of that, and I'm not... I am a strong enough person to say that I'm not a strong enough person to really drink it straight. I don't get it very much, so therefore I like it in something like this, where it's like I get that little bit of a flavor of it without...
So like, through this you're getting some cola flavor?
No, I'm getting whiskey flavor.
Oh.
I'm getting the whiskey.
I was gonna agree with you. It's like, I think there's some cola... attributes in this.
It's got
that
consistency.
It's got that mouthfeel. Stinky, sticky... brown flavor I have a hard time describing that cola is.
Cola
is brown and sticky. Brown, stinky, sweet. And stinky maybe a little bit.
I know that you like whiskey and you mix it with Coke. If you do want to appreciate whiskey for what it is, I mean, and I would actually recommend this to anybody who's trying anything new, whether it's beer or whiskey or rum or food, instead of trying to figure out whether or not you like it, try to figure out what it tastes like.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this
before. Yeah, we talked about it a few times in the several episodes. I forgot what I was going to say.
Me too.
Try things.
Try new things. Don't assume that you're going to like it or dislike it. Just try to figure out what it tastes like. I hope nobody's driving right this second, because this beer is fucking strong.
Yeah. I'm experiencing some delightful intoxication. So, since we are at that point of fuckery... shall we continue with our conversation on this shite of a movie?
Do we have to?
No, we don't, but we should, because that's what the fans demand, right? Does any of our fans demand that?
Did you know that Molly Ringwald was named Nikki the Twister in this movie?
She's Nikki the Twister?
Because she could twist into things. I did kind of like when she was walking and she said something about, like, so your name's Wolf, huh? Probably don't want to know what my name is, huh? And then she just continued to talk and tell him that hurt his name, but, like... I kind of thought she was... I like Molly Ringwald.
Oh, my God. I wanted to shoot myself in the face. I don't want to shoot her. I wanted to shoot myself, because her voice...
So annoying.
Oh.
Listen to you guys. I'm like, I always thought...
That was part of my...
She was great.
My texting.
Okay, I like Molly Ringwald, but when she was speaking, I did have to turn the TV down. But I do like her. And full disclosure... When I was a kid, I did have a little bit of a crush on her.
Who didn't?
Me.
Just saying.
You're wrong.
No.
But if their voice bothered you that much, then, like...
It did as an adult. As a kid, I'm like, whatever. It's a girl with boobs. Whatever.
So can anybody tell me what else Peter Strauss is in? The guy who played Wolf?
Right? So, I know exactly. He looks like the generic movie star that I've seen a million times.
The guy with the square jaw.
Yeah.
Who does stuff.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was having a hard time putting his face with anything.
No, I can look up his IMDb and his film.
Well, yeah, so did I.
I could do that, but he just looks like one of those guys who fits the bill perfectly, and then I forget about him entirely. Mm. I'm not to say that he gave a bad performance or he's a bad actor, not at all. But
he's the silence.
What?
He's the silence.
Yes, where you're
forget
confronted
about
with
him.
You like, oh my god, and then you turn around and then you forget that he exists.
I forgot about
that. That's a Doctor Who reference.
I know, but
nerd.
I forgot.
You forgot because it's the silence, right?
Not nerdy enough.
It's the
book
in the carpet.
He did a lot of voice acting.
Really?
Like a lot. But he's also handsome enough to be in TV, unlike myself. So
Oh, you sell yourself so short, Pete.
It's true.
But
he's a working actor. If you see his IMDb, he has worked.
He looks like he plays FBI agent. You know?
Well, or he's
professor
tall
or dad
or whatever.
You know what? Actually, this probably speaks a lot to his ability as an actor. If you can't recognize him any one thing, and he gets a lot of work, he is everyone then.
Yeah,
like that's
yeah.
that's character actors.
That's something. Yeah, that's something to be said.
That's awesome. Like that means that he's really good at what he does.
Like poor Daniel yeah, Radcliffe let's will not, always be Harry's Potter. Harry's Potter.
Harry's Potter. Whose Potter is that? Harry's.
Someone had a lot to drink tonight. I
apologize. 11 and a half.
Harry. Yeah. Right. So Harry. Yeah, he will always be Harry Potter, no matter what. Christopher Reeve. Poor Christopher Reeve was always Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. Or who's another role like? Who's the person who's just stuck in a role, getting what's out of it?
Yeah. So throwing back to Bela Lugosi in Dracula, he was kind of always thought of as Dracula.
That was actually,
even though he had a lot of great roles.
Yeah, I can't name another role.
Oh, he played Igor and Frankenstein several times.
He played Dr. Frankenstein?
No, I'm sorry, the monster.
He played the monster.
After all the shit you were talking about the last episode about Transylvania 65,000, the monster versus the doctor, and you straight sit there and
I'm gonna go sit in the corner and think about what I think.
No, I think he was more upset about the fact that the whole Frankenstein thing was placed in the wrong country in that movie. That's what he
not even close.
Yeah. Frankenstein's monster comes from Belgium or whatever. Yeah, right. Speaking of which, besides this movie. Yeah. So it's this movie, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, and Breakfast Club. Name another movie with Marley Ringwald. She has been in other movies.
Really? Like, I honestly... like a John Hughes... Outside of John Hughes films...
I can't tell you a movie, I can tell you two TV shows.
I think I saw her in, like, a Sharknado or something. Oh, I saw her in something recently. She might have been like, in a Sharknado. Really recently.
She's in Riverdale.
That might have been it right there. Because she rolled her eyes and said, she's a very small teenagers or some shit like that.
Riverdale, because she's Archie's mom, who's kind of...
Oh, okay, that's not what I was thinking about.
She's not in town, so she's not on the show. Well, full disclosure, I haven't watched this season yet, but...
Don't. It's bad.
Well, they're all bad, but that's part of what makes them good. And then she was also in... The Secret Life of the American Teenager, which I did not watch, but I knew she was in it.
And she was also in a movie version of Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, no.
That's because you're a person. You don't need to see
it. Nobody saw
it. I didn't see it. I remember, I, as soon as I realized that it was a thing that existed, I'm like, no, this is taking up time and resources.
Like people
oxygen.
Want He-Man, but nobody wants Gem. People want She-Ra. Nobody wants Gem.
Oh, I didn't realize I wanted a He-Man movie until you just said that. That would be, like, a recent, like, new...
Dolph Lundgren and a bunch of characters that you've never
you
seen.
You shut your mouth.
What?
I liked Dolph... No, I can't even say that with a straight face. It was just terrible. In fact, it was so terrible that I actually thought about suggesting it as
you
a good
you feel bad movie. For yourself. No, you don't. You don't. You better not.
Because Pete's already got it on the schedule.
It's not on the schedule. That is not on the schedule, I swear to God.
He-Man 2020.
He looked like He-Man.
But no, I mean, she works a lot. Marvel works a lot. And I think she's a good actor. And I think that if given the opportunity to really flex her acting chops, she could do a good job.
You think she's a good actor? Trustwords?
Trustworth.
I don't know what that means.
That was in the movie.
That was one of the things that she said.
Like honestly or promise. She,
oh, it's trustworth.
Promise. One of the slang that she used was
right.
Trustworth.
Sort of.
I'm like.
That was one of those moments that I was like.
Does that mean
fucking stop doing that?
Does that mean safety word? Because it's gonna get really weird here.
You speak the future.
No, that's actually.
Okay, so I looked this up. I did read all the IMDb bullshit, and the one thing that just. I even had to pull Jody aside and I said, listen to this shit. According to IMDb, which is a public forum, right? Am I wrong? Can anybody edit this? All right, so...
Like Wikipedia? Oh, I think I have this already pulled up because you texted this to me, right? Are you talking about Ernie Hudson?
Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, is it time for Pete's text?
Other than the one I said before, which now I don't even remember...
Someone on IMDb said that the reason that Ernie Hudson... Okay, we gotta back up. I'm sorry, folks. Okay, we gotta back up for a minute. This movie was released a week before...
Return of the Jedi.
This movie was an Asylum film before Asylum existed. And if bad movie aficionados know what the Asylum Studios is, they've done Atlantic Rim... they've done. They always
it's like the release ripoff, right?
Right,
it, legally it, permissible ripoff of the high profile.
So someone hears about right. like. Okay, they're redoing Frankenstein, so we're doing Frankenweenie, and we're going to release it a week before Frankenstein.
Right.
And it's some sort of bullshit knockoff of
the Earth is still being remade, so before that, we have to release The Day the Earth Stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
Directed by C. Thomas Howell.
It's,
and The Asylum is those, famous for it.
What were those two...
famous...
Transmorphers.
No, big
Transmorphers is an Asylum film.
Movies that
Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Yeah.
Well, those were films that were actually being produced at the same time and were released close together, and they were both big Hollywood films.
Right.
The Asylum would have said like Armageddon, this is like
Armageddon Impact.
Yes, they would have done Deep Armageddon Impact or something.
Look out, Earth,
like
here
that.
Comes a meteor.
Yeah, and it would have all been terrible CG. That's what The Asylum does. So this did what The Asylum does now. They released a film that was piggy fronting.
Did you just say piggy fronting?
I did.
It's supposed to be piggybacking.
Instead of piggybacking on Return of the Jedi.
I have to visualize what piggy fronting looks like, literally. Give me a piggy front ride.
It's not cool. So anyway, Billy Dee Williams was in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Supposedly, according to IMDb, and I don't, whatever. But
when, about Billy Dee Williams.
Truly
when I read this on IMDb, I walked into the room and I said, Jody, listen to this shit. according to somebody, in IMDb it says... Ernie Hudson was hired because of his resemblance to Billy Dee Williams in Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, on the site, we need to have a picture of Ernie Hudson.
Oh, yeah, we need to put him
Billy Dee
side.
Williams next week.
Because they really don't look like shit alike.
Nothing alike. Nothing.
That's why I just flat out said, like, because they're both black.
Yeah.
And that's what I said.
So, that's dumb.
When somebody asks you if you're Billy Dee Williams, you say yes!
So, I did look up, the person who played Overdog was
Michael Ironside.
Not Jeremy Irons. I was trying to figure out how big a star was Peter Strauss, or was Ernie Hudson, or was Michael Ironside. This was maybe a couple years after Scanners.
Oh, so, 1980, yeah.
Right, so Michael Ironside was a guy who was known. If you haven't seen Scanners, see Scanners.
Oh, yeah.
It's really head-splody. And I'm pretty sure that was Cronenberg.
Yeah, it was Scanners
or Cronenberg. Yeah. And this was, it actually, I hate to bring it up, Space Hunter, Adventures of the Forbidden Zone, did remind me a lot of Battle Beyond the Stars. Not because they were both equally bad. Like,
they were.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't.
Space Hunter was watchable.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I stayed
goodness.
Awake. We're going to get our ass.
Battle Beyond the Stars made me angry. But they were both sort of like piggy front riding. They were both riding on the wave of space adventures that was kicked off by 1977 Star Wars.
Mm. Sure.
And that reminded me of it because they were just taking these ideas like just space, whatever it is, space. Just throw it in space and we'll do it. And I was like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. And so I think that everything, basically everything from 1977 to 1985 that was based as in space and or science fiction that wasn't Star Trek related was probably riding on Star Wars. I mean, if you think about any space or sci-fi movie that's set in the future or...
Blade Runner was different.
Not space.
That's not space.
And that's more...
It's dystopian.
It is dystopian.
Alien.
It's more cyberpunk.
Alien, that's good.
Oh, yeah, 79.
That's a true sci-fi horror film.
But, I mean, I think it's fair to say, I mean, if a space movie was popular enough to be slapped on a lunchbox and sold to kids... Chances are,
oh, yeah, like,
everybody was trying to get
Last
their hands
Starfighter.
On every
and,
oh,
that was
yeah. 82.
That was totally.
Oh, no shit.
And then every B movie that had a spaceship on the cover of its VHS box was obviously trying to do Star Wars. Yeah, I thought it was totally true.
You're on it.
Oh, wait. E.T. was 82. It was not a Star Wars ripoff.
No.
At all.
No.
It was also, just, don't think it's a space movie.
But it was extraterrestrial. You're right. That's
but
more
it's
of a.
Not.
It's kind of a monster movie.
It is a monster movie. It's not.
Yeah.
And I guess it technically is sci-fi, but it's not space.
It's not space.
Yeah, you're right.
Not really space. No, like, this movie isn't really a space movie, because it's set in a freaking desert.
In E.T., right. The monster was us.
Same way with Kong. Same with Kong in 33.
Currently, the water mitigation that is happening in my basement right now is taped off by a big piece of plastic with a zipper in the middle. And Troy's like, it's like the things in E.T. I'm going to send all of you a picture that I just found / created of Ernie and Billy.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice. Take side by side.
Same time, side by side.
The same year, same, yeah. Like...
It's a, I mean, it's a,
Billy Dee is like 10 years older than Ernie.
Billy Dee as Lando Calrissian, and it is a picture of Ernie Hudson as his character in Ghostbusters. Yeah,
we'll post that on...
And his character, so it's Ghostbusters the year after this one, but...
Yeah, that's going to go up on Insta Twitter face.
Right, so it's...
I'm telling you.
Ernie Hudson as Winston Zeddemore and Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. I mean, yeah, they're both... Handsome mustachioed black man, but that's about it.
And in this movie, Ernie Hudson doesn't even have his mustache.
I'm tired of talking about this movie. Can we stop this?
Kind of. Yeah. I got a lot of questions, but I don't want any of them answered.
let's answer at least one of them.
So I saw that Washington's vehicle was powered by Mr. Fusion.
Yes. So what? Was the Scrambler.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I saw that they're feeding it trash.
It wasn't Mr. Fusion, DeLorean. but there was a there was a compartment in there that you could feed. Scrap metal. Right.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They did it to both of them. Because I noticed that too, and I was like, oh, it's like the DeLorean.
Okay, because this does predate Back to the Future by about 2 years.
Well, and and that comes in Back to the Future too.
No, it's the end of the first one. Because the end of the first one.
Right.
You're roads right. Where we're going, we don't need
roads. Right. I forgot about that.
I thought it was gross that Wolf had an Android sex bot. We already talked about that.
Why did they even ask that?
Why is Molly Ringwald calling herself an Earther? Is this just a status thing? It's like...
Right. Yeah, I think that. The only other thing that I did wonder is if Molly Ringwald's family arrived on that planet much the way the girls arrived on the planet that... were out to rescue the girls who were supposedly the whole point
she,
of the
she
plot.
Seemed like a native. I felt
well,
that she
the
was
language
a,
alone.
Right.
I think it was an Earther refers to a non-mutated human. If you're a mutant or like radiation burned or like one of those.
When she was saying Earther though, it felt like no, I'm not poor. I'm part of society. That's what it felt like.
She kept saying she wasn't a scab.
Yes.
She's also not out of
I want to know if Molly Ringwald did all of her own stunts, because there were some things that I couldn't tell from the cuts whether she was actually doing her stunts or if that was a stunt person. I'm sorry?
In the maze.
She almost got her hair burnt off of the maze.
In the maze, and there were a couple other places where she was thrown or jumped from some place that I thought, oh, that looks like that should have been a stunt person.
She probably...
But,
did her own
you might have done that. It was a $14 million budget. They could have afforded a stunt person for her, but I don't know. Some of those cuts were pretty tight where I thought, man, maybe she fell. Yeah, especially on the in the maze at the end where she fell from something and grabbed onto a pole before she fell into boiling water or something.
Yeah.
I thought that was impressive to me. I wasn't sure exactly. Every time they say Earth Girls, I wanted to scream, R-E-Z! Yes! Yeah.
Actually, I specifically avoided using the term Earth Girls in the 6 minute synopsis.
That's a good idea, because I would have yelled it every time. And lastly, when the pleasure cruise ship blew up and the escape pod left, it searched for the first E-type planet, and I thought for sure they were M-class planets.
Yes.
If nerds will back me up on this, please.
let's not kick the tires on this one anymore, because it's just all going to fall apart.
I know.
I started that, I'm like, why am I asking these questions that I know?
Those are my last questions. I'm done asking questions.
Yeah. One fun fact about this movie. It was filmed and shown in 3D.
Oh, yes.
I tried really...
We saw some aspects of the 3D in the version that we watched on Amazon when they go to... When they first bring
the three girls to the
overdog, and he was like, give them the mood enhancer so this will be easier. And the guy has a syringe.
Yes.
The syringe comes a little, like, straight at the... I wonder if that's what the difference... Because there were two options on Amazon Prime that we could have watched. That was like, there was one that were this movie. The first one, the first choice had a little Prime banner on it. And then the next one didn't. So we picked the one that had the Prime banner because I was like, well, I'm definitely going to take
I'm
the one
that they're
including
shit.
In Prime. Yeah. I ain't fucking paying
We paid for the swarm. Right. Fuck's sake. Well, actually, Dave did.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the refund.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
But I wonder if that's what the difference was.
Maybe.
One was the 3D. There was, but I only noticed... The needle, and then there was something else earlier.
The credits.
Oh, yeah.
The Space Hunter, zoom, comes shooting at you, and then it sits there for too long. It's like they're just waiting for you to, go, ooh, 3D.
Yeah,
actually, in the beginning, the space luxury liner, when it was coming toward the camera, I think that was another effect.
Yeah. I was expecting a lot more spears in the camera, though, the whole time. I was like, at least it was not blatantly, except for, the syringe and the Direct. Logo.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. On the trailer for Space Hunter, which I watched, it's like, at last, a large scale studio does a 3D movie. I mean, like, it was
in space.
Yeah.
But it's not really
in space. Okay.
The only other thing that you texted me that I thought was funny is that, like, maybe 10 minutes into you watching this movie, you said, Dave's synopsis is going to be, if Star Wars and Mad Max dropped their illegitimate child on its head a few dozen times.
That's so good. I'm so angry to think about that.
And then a little farther down, it says, she's a robot. Big fucking surprise. Sorry, Dave will correct me. An android.
A gundroid?
Yeah.
So, does anybody want to rate this movie now?
Let's do that. So, yes, let's talk about the rating system.
So, we here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night have a very specific rating system. We rate from 0 beers to 6 beers. 0 beers means you don't need any beer to enjoy it. You like the movie as is. 6 beers means you have to be completely wasted to enjoy the movie. So, the higher the rating, the worse the movie. Mm-hmm. So, let's start with Kathleen. How many beers do you require in order to make this movie watchable?
Well, even though we did the poll so that you could claim that it wasn't actually your choice.
It's not my choice.
I did stand by the fact that you did put all the movies on the poll.
Yeah, those were the movies that you chose.
It does still feel like it's your choice. And I told you right at the top that when I was done watching the movie that I stayed awake for, that my last note that I wrote down was, well, it's not the swarm. So, in sticking with that theme, I will tell you, I give it a solid 5.
Wow, that's on the high end for you.
It is on the high end for me because it just literally, even though the movie is terrible and I don't ever want to see it again, if Molly Ringwald's character had been cast as a child, even Molly Ringwald at 9. It would have made the movie more enjoyable because that is what that character was supposed to be. And that is what that relationship between Wolf and Nikki was supposed to be, is a child.
A father-child.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Okay.
Fixing that might disqualify the movie from the podcast, but then I remembered all the other stuff.
So would you say, if that relationship was actually well cast, would you say it would have been a lower rating?
Probably would have been a 3.
Okay. So, wow, that was worth 2 beers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was between that and the ridiculous language. My brain work tells me that that's what would have happened.
Hmm.
All right, okay. So that's 5 for Kathleen. Troy?
I don't think it's 5, but it's 4. I was debating between 5 and 4 the entire time, but I'm like, it's 4. I don't know why. I think it's because this movie has so many moments where it's like, that didn't need to be there. That didn't need to be there. Why is that in there? They had to make it an adventure to get to the overdog. But, like, there's so much... So many moments where I'm like, oh, this is so... Nothing develops during this scene. This is just, oh, we have to escape from a danger. And they didn't... There's nothing clever about the way they escape. They just run away and...
Yeah.
Oh, so did it feel like a transparent and vulgar cash grab trying to ride the wave of Star Wars phenomenon? Like a remora stuck to the Star Wars whale?
Yes. Well, and... Because in Star Wars... All the scenes seem to move things along. You still feel like there's... Pete's losing it.
I'm okay.
So yeah, like the trash compactor monster in Star Wars.
Yes.
It was a part of the movie. It made sense.
Right, and right. you get the feeling that you're developing the interactions between the characters more. And, like, they forgot to do that part when they're getting away from...
There's a monster. We escaped. That was a thing.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Right. There was... Right.
It's a repeat of that.
And I go back to it again and again where there was somebody that said, a movie should go, this happens, and because of that, then this happens. Instead, it goes, but this movie said, this happens, and then this happens. It's right.
With no disjointed.
Yeah.
Got to move it along. And continued to bug me the whole movie.
Yeah. It was just basically each one of those danger zone situations they found themselves in was just really... to highlight, here's another kind of freaky person that lives on this planet.
Right. So just all that danger zone crap. If there was a roadway that was paved towards it,
there's a highway.
Highway to the danger zone. Okay, Pete. How many beers does it require for you to enjoy this movie from 0 to 6?
I'm on Troy's bandwagon with between 4 and 5. So I'm like I get what Kathleen's saying is 5 because this is bad. It's bad, bad, bad. I thought some of the special effects, like the costuming, I thought the costuming was really nice. I thought the dystopian vehicles that they used was really well done. Some of the miniatures, like the end, the very end when the fortress blows up, that was clearly a miniature. But I thought it was a fine explosion, not as well as Toho would ever do. But it was a delightful little American explosion.
You're such a nerd.
Yeah.
Such a snob.
Yeah. Like I said, the costuming, even the vistas in this were beautiful. The way it was shot in the exterior. I'm having a hard time, folks. Anyway,
son of a bitch.
Doesn't matter.
Rate the movie.
I'm going to go with a 4 because some of it didn't suck. But a lot of it did. 4. And it was mildly entertaining, except for Molly Ringwald and her incessant chitty chatter. Oh my god.
So, okay. So that's 4 from Pete. I'm going to give it a 4. It did hold a little bit of nostalgia. I mean, like, the nostalgic value for me, because I did see it as a kid, and I did like it. Watching it as an adult, I didn't like it. It did remind me of a time when I was young. And I did like a lot of the production design. Let me rephrase that. Actually, you know, let me take that back entirely. I didn't like a lot of the production design. I like some of the production design. I'm not going to even enumerate all the terrible things.
Done.
I'm just going to say it's a 4, and that's it. Done. Finn.
Okay, you know what? I think that we all owe Dave a round of applause for not giving us another 6 movie.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. It wasn't me! Our viewer, there's a poll. They chose it. I didn't choose it.
All right, you're right. He did not, so he's still on record.
You're still on record
6.
For being the worst.
You can't win.
No.
No. No, you can't. Kathleen.
Yes.
Dear Kathleen, please tell our listeners how, if they wish, to get a hold of us.
Well, my friends, Romans, countrymen, should you want to reach out to us and contact us in any way, shape, or form, tell us whether or not you think that this was Dave's movie choice or was not Dave's movie choice.
No, none of that. No, no.
No, I want your opinion.
Please feel free to reach out to us via email. at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter and at that same complicated set of letters. I have posted the photo so you can determine whether or not that statement on IMDb is appropriate or inappropriate. We all vote inappropriate.
I just
posted that on Instagram. Clearly and you can see examples of the lovely beverages that we had as well on
Instagram.
Yes.
As well. So follow us on Insta, follow us on Twitter. You can find us at Good Beer Bad Movie Night on Facebook. Questions, comments, suggestions, cries of outrage, blame for Dave, whatever it is that you
blame
need
Dave to for all of it. Right?
Let us know. We want to hear it.
So thanks, folks. We will see you next month. We have something fun. We have something very fun next month, but it's a secret, so stay tuned. And until next time.
I already said Shona.
See you next time, folks. I want to try this cap popper. Oh, fuck. I screwed it up.
Yeah, you gotta cock it first.
Well, you can...
Cock it.
Oh, I see.
Then pull back.
I got that.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting ready. Troy's eyeball. All right, here. Let me aim it over here.
That's the only time I've ever wished that we had this on film.
I hope that's not a dent in the wall.
I hope it is.
Are you hope it is.
Dave is really going to enjoy listening to all this.
Oh, yeah,
Dave gets
Six beers means you need to be in the spirit world. You have to be completely messed up and trashed.
That was loud!
Lobby and get ourselves a throat lozenge.
Right!
Porter brew with peanut butter, that's hard to say.
You should say it five times fast.
Butter, butter, peanut butter, 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 peanut butter, 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 fuck me!
Hi, this is the cast of Good Beer Bad Movie Night. You've reached Paul Johnson. You've missed the show of the beat.
Oh! Put that microphone there.
He just headbutted the mic.
The end credits never mind. I'm going to bed.
I like what you say because it's profound.
Space Hunter. Nothing but Space Hunter.
The bitch hit me with a toaster.
It's like, shut the fuck up.
I wish I would have invested in AquaNet back then.
You almost said Aqueduct, didn't you?
I did. Well, maybe. We're going to take a break. We're going to grab it. I'm going to try this again.
You add two butters. Yeah. You say peanut butter, porter, peanut butter, porter, porter, peanut butter, porter, peanut butter, porter, peanut butter, porter, peanut butter, porter, 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 porter,
bought a bit of better butter, better than the bitter butter, and she put it in the batter, and the batter wasn't bitter. So it was better Betty bought about a bit of better butter.
What did I just walk into? Peanut butter with a bitter butter burger. That's a big butt.
I know. Okay, guys, we're going to have a lesson on Roman numerals.
Your mom is so wrinkled that she has to screw her head on. We may have been drinking.
I don't think they noticed. Keep going.
Shh. Right.
Wait, they're onto us. Warped Wing Brewing. Warped Wing Brewing Company. That's the brewing. The Warped Wing. I may have been drinking.
My chest is on fire.
My chest is on fire with Baltic Argonaut.
Give me that brown stinky stink. Oh, my.
I like my...
Holy rainbow. It's Franken and Monsters in Hawaii. He's an amazing actor, and I want to punch him in the face. It's kind of like Kathleen looks like Christina Hendricks. Yeah. They both have red hair and big boobs.
And my hair is not even really red.
Yeah.
That's only between you and Estee Lauder. You don't want to say that.
You guys are ridiculous.
What about the word vulva? Oh, that was gross. Yeah. Sorry.
Battle Boy.
Battle Beyond the Stars Royale?
Battle Beyond the Stars Royale, yeah.
I think that we might be able to set that up. That'd be fun.
No, Uncle. I forfeit.
I win. I don't want to watch it again.
If looks could kill, I've been lying on the floor. I've been begging you, please, please, please don't hurt me no more.
You are bananas.
Fernanders.
I thought you said you had everything like
Shut up, you!
You said you had everything.
So I lied! So fuck you!
Exactly what we're gonna do!
I love your shtick where Kathleen doesn't want to be there. No, it's real. it's real. That's not shtick. Alright, 3, 2. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Let's miniature.
Clearly a miniature.
I know. It's like I'm taking a shit here and it's not working.
Shit in your mouth.
What?
Ew.
His view's stone faced when he said that shit through your mouth.
he's trying to explain something. Good. He's like, I'm trying to take a shit here.
So the shut up.
Maybe he needs a poop whiskey.
Ernie. Don't
get that.